We're in week two of this home series, which I'm excited about, and we're looking at Matthew chapter 5, a couple of the Beatitudes, and trying to say, how does that look, or how does that apply in our homes, how does that look like our families? So today, when we turn there again, what we're going to look at is in verse 8, chapter 5, in Matthew. But if you notice in the last, say like 20 or 30 years, maybe it's even less than that. We've gotten more protective of our children, especially protecting them from any means of potential harm. So, for instance, playgrounds have gotten quite a bit more regulated. Certain amounts of conditioning material required for playgrounds, as well as safer and not quite as high sorts of things. I remember when I was a kid, we had this awesome playground that was called like a rocket ship or something, but it was huge. It was really tall, all these metal bars that you could stick your head in and get stuck, and all sorts of things, right? I mean, you probably have these playgrounds that would not be allowed today. Not enough conditioning, not enough safety. We've kind of gone the extra mile. Or maybe think of it in sports. The obvious one is football, right? We've improved things in football, but it's really any sport. From soccer to volleyball to baseball, we've made improvements or added rules to keep kids safe. Safe from concussions, safe from all sorts of things. In fact, maybe it could be said that we have at times gone too far in trying to protect our kids physically, which was a research commercialized thought put out by a Canadian medical education group, which was trying to educate families on how to first aid basically children. And they put out this commercial, which I was going to tell you about, but it's way better if you just watch it. So here it is. So I'm sure some of you are thinking, where can I get one of those, right? Like, I gotta put my kid in one, or maybe I need to put my spouse in one, because they seem to have more problems than anyone I know. We'll go to the ends of the earth to protect, right? We'll protect our kids, anyone we love, from anything that could possibly hurt them. And that's actually seen as really normal, and we kind of rejoice over that. We encourage other people in society about that. What we don't often encourage, and society definitely doesn't encourage, is the idea that we might protect what's going on the inside of our lives. We might protect the purity of our hearts, which is what we're going to look at today. We put safeguards in place with our family and with our kids to keep us pure. So let's look at chapter 5, verse 8 in Matthew, in the statement Jesus makes here. He says, blessed are the pure in heart. For they will see God. Pretty short, pretty sweet. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let's just start with the first part. Blessed are the pure in heart. And I think the definition for this is massive, and we can't talk about all that might mean. But today, what does it mean specifically within our families? Blessed are the pure in heart. What might it mean in our families to have purity of heart? So maybe the first question is, what is the state of your heart as a family? What is the state of your heart individually? That can be a tricky question because we like to think that our hearts are really good. I can't tell you the number of times a youth pastor, a mom or a dad or someone would come to me about a student and they would say, look, I know Ricky or whatever his name is. This is going on. He's flunking out of school, whatever.
He's got a really good heart. Right? You know what they always say?
I know. And I have little girls in youth group. They wouldn't exactly say heart, but they'd say,
Well, I know this guy's not Christian. I know he's not really all that nice, but he's got a really good heart, right? I should totally be able to date him.
I can't, I can't tell you the number of times that we've said that, and that seems to kind of be a cultural thing. We want to believe that from the inside we are actually good, even if our actions don't always show that. The problem is that's not exactly what Scripture tells us, right? It says, in fact, quite the opposite. Jeremiah 17:9-10, which there will be quite a few scriptures today. They're on the screen. You can run down and look them up later as well if you want. But Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who knows? Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. The first key this morning for our families to have the purity of heart is to realize we can't have it without Christ. There is no such thing as a pure heart without Christ's involvement in our lives. Ephesians 4 maybe fleshes it out for us more. I want to read to you verses 17-19, where Paul is speaking to people who are following Christ. He is speaking to Christians. So this is for us. It's not for people who aren't. He's saying, you who live no longer as the Gentiles do, that's the people who don't follow Christ, for they are hopelessly confused, their minds are full of darkness, they wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. And that's Paul's description of what our hearts are like when we're not with Christ, but I often wonder, are some of us allowing that to be what our hearts are like even though we're following Christ? That we have allowed our hearts to become darkened or to not be illuminated. Another funny story from youth group, at least I think it's funny. I used to play this game where we turn off all the lights in the church and we play this game in the dark. And it was kind of like a game of tag. And all of the kids would be in one room. We'd have the lights on. We'd send three kids out into a completely darkened church. And the 30 of us, or however many, had to go find the three of them while they tried to tag us and eliminate us from the game. Great game. Lots of fun. I'm amazed over and over that I didn't kill anyone in this game. Because the way this worked, there was our youth room was at the top of some stairs. And we would keep the lights on until I said, go, and the people had gone and hidden, at which point we opened the door, shut the lights off, and everybody ran out of the room. Now, if you've been in a very light room and then ran into a completely dark church, you don't see very much, right? And our youth room was right at the top of some stairs. So it was sprint out the room, run down the stairs. 30 kids all pushing each other in the dark. And I look back and I'm like, oh my goodness. I am amazed none of those kids really got hurt. But there was a huge difference in those moments. That utter blindness feeling that came from having no idea where I was walking or who might run into me, it faded after a few minutes. But that's kind of the feeling, I think, that Paul is saying with our hearts, that they can be darkened. And that is supposed to be the case before we come to Christ, but sometimes we allow it to continue because we haven't surrendered our hearts fully to God. Could it be that in the majority of our homes and families, the purity of our hearts is lost because of the hardening or the darkening of hearts to the things of God? Maybe. Paul goes on to say in the chapter of Ephesians that it's because of the darkening and the hardening that there's all kinds of impurity. If you keep reading in that chapter of Ephesians, that the darkness and the hardening lead to impurity, which is why I think we could say with the psalmist, well, how then do we stay pure? Psalm 119, that's what he says. He says, well, how? If that's the case, if our hearts are hardened and darkened, if we can't see anything without Christ, and even then sometimes maybe we struggle, how can we? How can a young person stay pure? Maybe you can change that and say, how can a husband or a wife, how can a father or mother or child stay pure? How can we do the right thing? Because the answer can't be to follow our heart. That's what we often hear, right? Just follow your heart. Do what feels good. I've seen lots of people throw lots of parts of life away, from teenagers to married people to older people, because they just did what felt right in their heart. The heart is deceitful, it says. So what do we do? The psalmist answers the question. How can a young person stay pure? What does he say? Don't let me stray from your commands. Don't let me stray from your commands. I seek you with all my heart. Don't let me stray from your commands. So what might that sound like for our homes and our families if we are to keep Christ and his word at the center? Maybe if we retranslated Psalm 119 for our families, maybe it would say this. How can our family stay pure? By living according to your word. We will seek you with all our hearts. God, don't let us stray from your commands. That's my Psalm 119 family translation. Let's start with maybe three things in the ways we can do this. Someday, I'm going to write a sermon with 17 points just so I don't have 3 points, because I always have 3 points. But at some point, I'm going to write one with a whole bunch, and then I'll just throw you off. But 3 points for this week. Three things, I think. If the case is that our hearts tend to be darkened and we have to come to Christ and he has to renew us and he has to change our heart that we can be pure, how might we do that? Because I don't think it's an accident. I don't think you'll wake up someday with a kid who's graduated from high school and has gone off to college and gotten married, and you look at that child and you go, wow, they're holy. I don't know how that happened. That's crazy. It's not usually an accident, right? It takes some intentional effort in our families. So three things. The first one is this. I think you have to get your own heart right. You have to get your own heart right. As leaders in your home, you set the tone for the purity level of the hearts in your home. There's a man named Don Flo, and he owns a bunch of car dealerships in North Carolina and Virginia, like 17 of them or something. Christian guy, and he really wanted his business and his dealerships to reflect those values, but not just by sticking like a sign up on the wall, right? Not just like something on the wall that said, we're a Christian business. He actually wanted their practices to be the same as his faith, and so he started implementing all sorts of things across their company to value their employees, to value their customers, to be engaged and involved in their community. Things like providing an employee assistance program where anyone in their company at any level can draw in a time of financial emergency money from their company to cover expenses that are because of some major crisis in life. For any problem, anyone at any level. He put into practice some things like paying his employees to go volunteer at Christian nonprofits in their free time. He paid them on the clock to go impact their community because he wanted his business to reflect his values. But what he said in an interview was this, which this is what I found interesting. When he's thinking about his company reflecting the values of Christ, and he stole the verse where it says that Christ was full of grace and truth, he said this. He said, the company, my company, will not be more graceful and truthful than I am. I have to be the things I want my company to be. That applies in your home as well. Your home will never be more pure in heart than your heart is pure. You lead and set the tone. You lead in guarding your heart, and it will affect your whole family. Solomon saw this as really important, right? In Proverbs chapter 4, he says, what above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. So if you're thinking, how do I get my heart right? Maybe it's asking some questions like, what do I allow to influence me? What do I read? What do I watch? What kind of entertainment do I like? My closest friends, what are they like? The ones that really have access to my heart and my soul. What kind of things am I feeding my mind and my thoughts with? Those questions might help us understand really the condition and the state of our heart. And once we see that, the challenge will be the same thing that the psalmist had said. We will want to say, how can I change this? Well, maybe I could do this, and I need to stop that, and I need to do this. But the psalmist says, no, you need to evaluate these things by the light of God's word. What does God's word say about it? And how might I live in this area if that is true? Not how do I feel about it, but how does God feel about it? And how might I need to work on changing it with his help? Are there conversations that we're having that are impure? Maybe we need to pray that God would convict us. Are there things that we think that are impure? Would we pray, God, convict me of those? Do I have friendships that drag me down more than I build those people up? God, show me those. Help me get my heart right first. Your home will never be more pure in heart than you are pure in heart. Get your heart right first. The second thing I think we have to do, and I'm going to term it in terms of parenting, but I think it applies between spouses and from children to parents as well, but parent to the heart. Get your heart right and then parent to the heart. When working with kids or other people's kids or even with your spouse, how do you focus on the heart issues? Because most often we will want to parent or correct according to actions and forget the heart, which is the exact opposite really of what we see in Scripture over and over. Let me give you two examples. In 1 Samuel 16, Samuel is wondering, to God, how is it that you could use David, right? He's saying, how could you use him? He doesn't look like much. He doesn't have the right background. And the Lord says to Samuel, he says this, the Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, which is the same thing Jesus says in the New Testament, right? He says, you have heard it said, don't commit murder. But I'm telling you, what's really important is, do you have anger in your heart? Don't commit adultery. But what I'm really interested in knowing is if you're lusting after people in your heart, because then you've already done it. He even told the Pharisees, hey, the outside of your cup looks clean, right? But inside, it's filthy. When we're working with kids or spouses, we have to, as one preacher put it, not settle for outward submission when there's still inward rebellion. Not settle for outward submission when there's still inward rebellion. My mom was a really good, at this at least, parenting to the heart. She was always concerned about what was going on inside more than just my actions. So when I would, maybe you've never done this, but a couple times when I hurt my sister's feelings or made her cry, and sometimes just actually hurt her because I was quite a bit bigger than she was, my mom would say, you need to go apologize, right? And so I would go over to my sister and be like, I'm sorry, you big baby, right? Like I would like qualify like, stop crying, wuss, right? Like I would say that to her because my mom would say, that's not an apology. Like, go, you're going to go to your room until you actually are sorry that you hurt your sister. And she might explain to me why that was part of what I believed, that God loved me enough and I should love my sister enough and I needed to be sorry that I hurt her and not just fake sorry. Now, it's not black and white. You can't always tell exactly what your kids are thinking, but there has to be a level at which we say just the action, because I did the right thing, right? The action was I apologized, but my heart was not in the right place. And my mom said, that's not going to cut it for us. Purity of heart is important. We have to stay focused on the heart. If the heart gets right, the actions will follow. Get your own heart right. Parent from the heart. And the third thing, we have to pursue a completely pure heart. I say pursue because it's something I think that has to last our entire life, where we're seeking that Christ might make us more and more and more pure. Because the standard is really high, right? Ephesians 5:3, Paul says this, but among you, again, only talking to people who are following Christ, among you, there must not even be a hint. And he lists a couple things, sexual immorality or greed, but he says any kind of impurity. Among you, there must not even be a hint, and we're talking about heart issues, right? Of any kind of impurity. That's a pretty high standard. There's a great story out there about a mom who was confronted with a moment, or a dad, I don't know which one it was, a moment with their child where they were trying to convey this point about a hint of something or just a little of something. And that story, which I hope is true, but I'm not actually sure it is, but it might be, was turned into a skit, which I would love for you to watch.
Hey, listen, my buddies are going to see this movie, okay? And I know you and I know about the movie. We talked about it, okay? But before you say anything, okay? I know, okay? I know that there is some cussing in the movie, okay? But it's just a little bit, okay? Just a little bit, and I know it's not real, okay? And there's some violence, okay? But it's just a little bit, and I know it's not real, you know? Yeah. And there's some nudity in it, okay? But it's just a little, and I know it's not real. But anyway, can I please go see the movie, please?
Okay.
I knew it. You don't ever let me do anything. What did you say?
You can go see the movie.
That's awesome. You're the coolest dad in the whole wide world.
Whoa, before you go, I knew we were going to have this conversation again, so I decided I would make you some of my famous brownies that you loved since you were a kid.
These are my favorite brownies
You've
in the whole wide world.
You've loved those brownies since you were a little kid. And so I thought I'd just make them for you. You know, same great ingredients that I always put in those brownies,
yeah.
But this time I just added a little bit of something, It shouldn't affect the whole batch. It's just a little bit of something.
You shouldn't mess with perfection.
That's my point exactly.
Yeah.
But I've added the same ingredients that I always have. You got the eggs, the flour, the cocoa. You got the little bit of vanilla. You got the almonds. Same great ingredients that I always put in there.
Powdered sugar.
Powdered sugar is in there. But this time I added just a little bit of something.
Brown sugar.
Brown sugar. A little bit of brown sugar, yeah.
White sugar.
Sure. Yeah, we'll go with that ad lib. Sure. But I added just a little bit of something in there. Just a little bit of something. It shouldn't affect the whole batch, though.
Cumin?
No.
Allspice?
No.
Old Spice?
No.
I can taste a little difference.
But it shouldn't affect the whole batch, son. It's just a little bit. I mean, yes, same wonderful ingredients, but it's just a little bit of something.
What is it?
Dog poop.
Excuse me?
Just a little bit, son. Just a little bit.
It is dog poop. From the big dog or the little dog?
From the little dog. Whew.
That's a load off. Why would you put dog poop in the brownie?
Son, it shouldn't affect the whole batch. It's just a little bit. It's just a little bit.
I get it.
What?
It's just a little bit. It's just a little bit.
What?
Hey, the next time you don't want me to go see a movie, just say, son, don't go see a movie. Don't feed me poop brownies. I don't even want to go to the movie now. I just want to go get something to drink. That better be lemonade in the refrigerator.
Ephesians calls us to not even a little bit, right? As followers of Christ, it calls us to pursue a completely pure heart. And it's not something that happens right away. It's not something that if we don't have it right now, we have to feel bad about. I think it's something Christ wants to work in us over our life, where we continue to move forward. Because what we're prone to do is set that bar really low, right? If we set it low, it's really easy to achieve. But I think the bar for what God calls purity in our hearts to is very high. And we have to keep it there, because we'll never reach any higher if we don't keep the standard where God actually has it. You can't hit anything higher than what you're shooting for, right? I've heard some people say. We have to aim for complete purity of heart and then watch Christ work in us that we might actually become that way from the inside out in the course of our life. And why do we care? Why do we need to do this? I think Jesus answers that question in Matthew 5:8. The second half of that verse, what does he say? Blessed are the pure in heart. Why? Because they will see God is what he says. Not just in some fatalistic end of your life kind of thing, but even in the right now of your life. That when you find purity of heart, when you start desiring from the inside out what it is that Christ calls you to, you will see God at work in your life. You will see him transforming parts of you. You will see him using you in ways that you never had before. You'll see your spiritual gifts come out and being used for his kingdom and for his glory. You'll see prayers answered as you're open and more receptive to his spirit moving. When we seek purity of our heart, when we begin to orient our heart around the things God calls us to, I think we begin to see God work in ways we never could have imagined before. But Jesus says it's only when we have a pure heart that we see God. So how's your heart? That's the first part, right? We got to get our heart right. Second part is we have to then parent to the heart, which really means looking at others through the lens of the heart. Not just the actions, but what actually is going on inside. And we have to pursue a completely pure heart, not just a little bit in the brownies, right? We have to pursue a completely pure heart. It's okay if we're not there yet, but Christ wants us to continue to come to him that he might continue to renew in us a heart that is really pure so we can lead in our families with that and create that environment in our homes. So how's your heart? How's your family's heart? Are there things you need to pray about together? Surrender to Christ, ask him to do in your homes. There might be this week. It's my prayer that you'll have those conversations and that you'll lead your family to be pure.